and continue with our message. So, it's a cool thing. Today, we are beginning a new message series here at Southwest. We just spent several weeks tackling some pretty heavy stuff as we talked about spiritual warfare. I don't know if you felt that. I certainly did. And you know what? That's good to talk about, and it's important, and I'm really glad we did. But just as important as that, it's also important to give ourselves a little time to breathe, a little time to rest our minds, rest our spirits a little bit. So today and for the next few weeks, we are doing You Asked For It, where you all have shared some questions with me about faith and life and Scripture, the questions that are on your hearts and minds, and I'm going to answer them. And it's really cool, I will say, I did not plan to have this message on baptism on the day we would do a couple baptisms. I planned it a little while ago, and then we were working on getting permission and all of that to have Jacoby and Jakari baptized, and it happened, and we just said, let's do it. So what a cool thing that we can do that today. Let me also say, as we're doing this You Ask For It message series, you are welcome to send in more questions in this series. We're doing it for about 6 weeks, so we've got space for about six, or I guess now five more questions to answer on Sunday mornings. And I've counted, I actually have 16 already. So if your question doesn't make it into the Sunday morning message, then I will certainly answer it. I plan to maybe do a few videos, put them on Facebook. I did this last time we did this series, and people seem to like it, so I'll do that again. So I'll answer it one way or another, or you can always just, like, come and talk to me. That's what I do. You can ask me questions, too. But to start us off, today's question is, do you have to be baptized to be saved? And this is a question I know which is important to many of us here today. You know, if you're in that age where you have young children, of course, you'll think about this. What should I do with them? Should I have them baptized? Should I wait? What's going on with that? You might wonder, is there a possibility that I can do this wrong? Because, of course, we have different groups of Christians in America and the world today that, let's say, different things about baptism. So I'm going to share what I believe is really biblical, scriptural, and true. Can I do this wrong? You might wonder, if I don't have my children baptized, and if something might happen to them, you know, I mean, Lord willing, our children will be safe and healthy and just fine until long after we are all gone, but if I don't, then am I leaving my children in danger of some kind of eternal consequence? And it's not just for people with young children. If you're older, too, your concern might be for grandchildren. Right? Your kids have had their own kids, and perhaps they aren't connected to a church. Perhaps they're connected to a church, but their church is one of those that doesn't baptize children. And so you're wondering the same kinds of questions. How important is this? Should I be talking to my own children about baptizing their children? Or maybe even you might be here wondering for yourself. Let me tell you, as I read this question, of course, I just got it as a little note on a green slip of paper, the ones that we passed out the last couple weeks. So it's not like I could talk to the person who wrote it to ask, you know, hey, what's your real concern here? But as I read this question, based on my own experience as a pastor, this is the kind of question that's really, it's rooted in a sense of deep concern for another person. You know, perhaps maybe a loved one who has died without being baptized, and we're wondering and maybe even afraid what happened to them. Or we're wondering about a grandchild whose parents just aren't interested in church. It's rooted in a sense of deep concern. And so this question, do you have to be baptized to be saved? It's not just a theological curiosity. You know, this is a question with real implications for how we live our lives, what we do with ourselves, with our children today. And for most of us here who are Lutheran, we can say that, most of us here have probably been raised Lutheran, your gut reaction to this question might just be to say, well, yes, of course, you need to be baptized to be saved. After all, when we have a kid, that's just what we do, right? You might be thinking, if you remember those Lutheran hymnals, and we don't use them here, but if you remember those Lutheran hymnals, you probably know where you can go in the back, and there's that page where it says, here's what to do if you need to have an emergency baptism. It can be that important that if someone needs to be baptized and there's no time to get a pastor there, you just do it, and here's how to do it, right? Our own lives probably are telling us on a gut level that baptism is really important. At the same time, there's also many stories of conversion in Scripture that might just lead us to say, yes, you have to be baptized to be saved. You know, all through the book of Acts, in fact, starting with the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, where Peter gets up, he tells a great crowd of people in Jerusalem, he says, Jesus is Lord and Messiah. And people then says, well, Jesus is Lord and Messiah, and you all killed him? You crucified him? But he rose from the dead that as the proof that he really is a son of God. He really is a savior. He really is who he said he is. And the people hear this, they're cut to the heart, and they ask, what shall we do? And Peter tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then after Pentecost, every time in the book of Acts, someone hears about Jesus and they desire salvation, the early Christian church baptizes them. Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts, he turned from his ways, he was baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch was baptized by Philip. Saul, when he became Paul the apostle, the first thing he did after he got up out of bed was he was baptized. It was a big deal in the book of Acts when Cornelius the centurion and his whole household were baptized because he was the first Gentile. He and his family were the first Gentiles to be baptized, and it was a sign that this new faith, this Christian church, was spreading beyond the initial core of Jewish believers. Lydia and her household in Philippi, the jailer in Philippi and his household, they were baptized. Crispus, a synagogue leader in Corinth, was baptized along with his household. And even apart from the people with the names, right, you can go and you can see where the apostles or someone was preaching, and they say great crowds of people came and were baptized that day. When you look at the book of Acts, every time someone wants to follow Jesus, every time someone wants to have forgiveness of sins, every time someone wants salvation, the very first step is get baptized. And this certainly seems to tell us, yes, you need to be baptized to be saved. And yet it's not quite so simple that we can give a flat yes to the question, do you have to be baptized in order to be saved? When Jesus was taken to the cross, for example, and as he hung there, he hung next to two criminals. And the Gospel of Luke records the conversation between Jesus and one of these criminals. And the man was there. He's hanging on the cross just like Jesus. And the man repents of his sin. And the man says to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answers him, today you will be with me in paradise. And of course, the man had no opportunity to be baptized before his death, and yet Jesus promised him salvation. There's that example. So do you have to be baptized to be saved? Well, the answer is not quite a flat yes. And if we can't quite say yes, you have to be baptized in order to be saved, well, then the other obvious answer which presents itself to us is to then say, well, no. I guess that's the other option. Right? No, you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. So is that the answer? Well, you know, we can point out at this point that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ hold this view, that you don't really have to be baptized to be saved, especially maybe those who don't baptize kids until they're a certain age. You know, our Baptist friends, Pentecostal friends, many non-denominational Christians, and they'll usually say something like, well, baptism is important, but, and there's a bunch of reasons, okay? Maybe kids aren't really responsible for what they do anyway, so they don't need it, or I can't go into everything there because that's not the question we're talking about. But they'll say, not everyone needs it. It's important, but it's not like a guarantee of salvation kind of important. Many people, too, will talk about the difference between baptism and belief. You know, we can look at a Bible verse like Mark 16:16, for example, where Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And they'll say, look, belief plus baptism equals salvation, but it's only unbelief that causes us to be condemned. So isn't it the case that what really matters is belief? And they say, if you believe in your heart then that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you're saved. And they'll go on to say, then that tells us that baptism is good, but not really necessary. Right? Because what really matters is faith in my heart. But when we read Scripture as a whole, when we read the New Testament and even the Old Testament, when we look at the New Testament especially, though, when we look for those verses which talk about baptism, we just cannot say that baptism is maybe good, but not really necessary. We just can't say it's optional. And here's why. In the first place, Jesus commanded his followers to baptize. And we read this just a moment ago with our baptism. Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. He says, if you want, go and make disciples. And the way you do it is to start with a baptism. And not only did Jesus command us to baptize, but there's a lot of clear benefits connected to baptism too. You know, our scripture reading for today is probably the most clear. Here in our scripture reading, it might seem to wander a bit, but it all makes sense in context. Here the Apostle Peter, he's writing to Christians who are going through times of suffering and persecution. They are suffering for doing good, as Peter says. And Peter is telling them that remember that even though it seems to us like salvation is a long time in coming, rescue is a long time in coming, God will surely save us. And so Peter makes this connection to the time of Noah, when God was patient, and God gave those wicked people in that day hundreds of years even to repent. He gave them a long time while Noah was building his ark, but God finally acted. And so this is what Peter wrote, making this connection to Jesus. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. Let me pause for just a moment here and say, what does it mean that Jesus went and made proclamation to imprisoned spirits? Well, we don't really know for sure. That's kind of a mysterious verse to many of us. And in fact, another one of the questions I got for this series is, did Jesus really descend into hell? And is that connected? And well, we'll talk about that one way or another. That's not the point today. Because we don't get any other details here besides that. So let's not let that trip us up, because that's not the main point. So here Peter continues talking about Noah and the ark he built, and Peter says in it, that's in the ark, only a few people were, eight and all, were saved through water. And this water, that's the water of the great flood, symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. It's not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you, baptism saves you, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Peter tells us flat out, baptism now saves you. Just in a way like the flood waters rescued Noah and his family from a wicked world on account of the great ark which God commanded Noah to build, now the waters of baptism save you on account of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is the way that Scripture consistently talks about baptism, that baptism actually connects us to Jesus' death and resurrection in a way that our own sins and sinfulness die with Christ, and now we rise to new life with Christ. Just as Jesus died and rose, we die and rise again in baptism also. So the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, in chapter 6, he says that we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And baptism does more than that even. Baptism unites us as one people, one family of God together. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, this is chapter 3, Paul says, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And he says this unity comes through baptism. Paul says also in Ephesians chapter 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So not only does Scripture teach us that baptism saves you, baptism even makes the church what it is. And we can't be the church today, at least not fully, not the way that Jesus commands us, if we are not baptized. So let's take one more crack at that question which started us off today. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? We can't quite say yes, absolutely. And we really can't say no, not at all. The answer which seems to be most faithful to Jesus' teaching and to the Apostle Paul's teaching and to the Apostle Peter's teaching, which of course there's both relied on Jesus' teaching, is to say, do you have to be baptized to be saved? Usually. And that's it. Not quite yes and not quite no, but usually. Because the truth is that we need to value this gift. And it is a gift. And the promise that God gives, that baptism does indeed save us. And that this sacrament is a means of grace that Jesus himself has instituted in order to save us. If you want to be saved, this is how you do it. But at the same time, we need to remember that it is a gift. It's not a burden. Baptism is meant to be our reassurance. Baptism is meant to give us confidence. Baptism is meant to give us comfort. It's not just that Jesus has saved the world in a general way, but Jesus has saved me, and Jesus has saved you through baptism. And it's this objective point in your life that you can point at and say, right there, that was the day where I could be sure. Here is where God delivered all his grace to me. And I think that usually is a good answer because it also doesn't exclude those people who for some reason could not be baptized or who were not baptized. You know, God's grace will cover those people who cannot be baptized before their death. And when we say this, we're usually thinking of stillborn children, right? A sad thing. But we can have trust and faith that God's grace covers them too. Or even the children who are at churches that baptize later in life and through some tragic circumstance, they lose their life. It's good to know that God will not forget these people, right? It's good to know that they haven't lost their salvation because of, like, a technicality. And at the same time, usually also doesn't let us ignore this gift of God. Parents and grandparents, this should really urge us to make sure our children and our grandchildren are baptized or do the best we can. And if you've got grandchildren and your own kids don't go to church, or if they go to a church where they don't baptize children, it's at least worth having that conversation. And if you're old enough to be listening to me and you know you aren't baptized, let me encourage you to go ahead and do it, or talk to your parents if you can. I know we have a number of young people and whose parents don't want to baptize. That's a cultural thing with many of our Burmese friends, okay? And I want you to know today, it doesn't mean you're lost, but I want to encourage you to have that conversation. And in fact, if you want me to go with you or our student pastor, Somo, you are voluntold officially, we'd be happy to be part of that conversation. Or both of us together, right? Because for us, we believe the words of Scripture that tell us baptism saves you. And that is good news for you and me and all people. Because we can be sure. We can be sure of God's grace for me. We can be sure of God's work in our lives. We can be sure that we are forgiven. We are made new. And that Jesus' death and resurrection isn't just for all, isn't just for others. It's for you too. Amen.